us turn to the Word of God, to Matthew chapter 6, and we shall read at verse 9. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Especially the words of verse 9, Hallowed be thy name. The Lord Jesus teaches us how to pray. We're not left to our own thoughts about the prayer that is acceptable to him. The Lord teaches us. He teaches us by the preface, Our Father which art in heaven, how we are to address the Most High, how we are to approach him, even as children, to a Father who is able and ready to help us. And this teaches us that we should pray with and for others. And now, in the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, the Lord Jesus teaches us to pray that God would be reverenced by ourselves and others in all the ways in which he makes himself known. Hallowed be thy name. As the Catechism states in the first petition, which is, Hallowed be thy name, we pray that God would enable us and others to glorify him in all that whereby he maketh himself known, and that he would dispose all things to his own glory. So in the first petition, we are praying that God's name would be treated as holy. We pray that his name would be regarded with reverence. Is this our desire? Do we desire to be reverent when we utter the name of God? On the other hand, what a rebuke it is to those who do not care about God's name, and indeed what judgment is pronounced upon those who carelessly take God's name in vain. The Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. But we need to understand, first of all, what is the name of God. And so we consider two things tonight with the Lord's help. First, the name of God, and the reverence that is due to his name. First of all, the name of God. Hallowed be thy name. The name of God is God himself in revelation. It is all that he has revealed and manifested of himself. Hallowed be thy name. All that he has revealed and manifested of himself is his name. In Psalm 20 and verse 1, we read, as we sang, The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble, the name of the God of Jacob defend thee. So it's not just the name of the Lord that is spoken or written that will save us, we know that. It's not just the letters on the page, but it is God himself who saves us. So when he says, the name of the God of Jacob defend thee, he is praying that the God who has revealed himself to Jacob, defend thee. The God who has manifested himself to Israel is the one who defends his people. So it is God himself, as he has manifested his perfections and his glory. That is his name. And this revelation and manifestation of God is in various ways, including, of course, his own word. It is his word that reveals God most clearly. It is by his word that we learn of God. And indeed, we know him only as he has revealed himself. He has revealed himself most especially and most clearly in his word. And friends, the word of God reveals also his specific names. His specific names. For example, the name Jehovah, and other names. of God, which are usually translated by the word God. There are names of God that are used very frequently in the Old Testament, such as El, Eloah, Elohim, Elyon, and these names mean consecutively Mighty One, or and Reverenced One, and Majestic One, and Most High, Elyon meaning Most High, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. And other names include El Shaddai, which means God Almighty or God All-Sufficient. And the name Jehovah, which is used about 6,000 times in the Old Testament, is the incommunicable name of God, which means, well, it is explained in this way by the Lord himself, I am that I am. This name expresses God's self-existence, his self-determining, his unchangeableness and eternity. He is the faithful God of the covenant. He is Jehovah, the great I am. And of course, these names reveal who God is. They reveal that he is majestic, that he is all-powerful and all-sufficient, and that he is sovereign. Now, there are also the titles of God, which include the titles of king and lawgiver and shepherd of Israel. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. So these names and titles of God are communicating to us some knowledge of the Most High, what we are to learn about the Lord. And what God teaches us about himself should influence how we think of him. You see, we must not be guided by our own thoughts and our own inclinations of what or who God is. Our understanding of God must come from what he himself has revealed of himself. And so what God has revealed concerning himself should influence our whole response to him. And because God's name is holy, we are to have a holy response to his name. Hallowed be thy name. May we reverently regard the name of God and all the ways whereby he makes himself known to us. Hallowed be thy name, God, as he has revealed himself to us. And the divine perfections, the attributes of God, teach us about God. The divine excellencies or perfections of God, the divine characteristics without which he would not be God. These are his attributes, his perfections. The being of God is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. God is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. We read in his word about the wisdom of God, the power of God, the holiness, justice, goodness, and truth of God. And all of these attributes are answering the question, what is God? All of his perfections teach us who God is. All these attributes of God reveal how great he is and how truly God is infinite and incomprehensible. That is, we cannot fully grasp what is revealed of God. Our finite minds cannot completely take in all that God is. Who can, by searching, find out God? And so when you think of that, how inadequate is our response to the manifestation of God's glory? Who can rightly be affected by what is revealed? But God is teaching us, and the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching us in the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that is an example and pattern for us to follow, that we should reverence God's name. We should treat God's name as holy. We should treat all the ways in which he reveals himself to us as holy, including his ordinances. God reveals himself in his ordinances. Remember, we referred to just a few moments ago, Psalm 20, verse 1, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble, the name of the God of Jacob defend thee, In verse 2 we read, send thee help from the sanctuary, and strengthen thee out of Zion. So it's not the sanctuary itself, nor the mountain, that can help us, but it is the Lord who reveals himself in the sanctuary and in Mount Zion. He can help you, he can strengthen you, as he reveals himself in his ordinances. Now for Israel of old, God communicated his mind by visions and prophecies. All the institutions of the Old Testament were revealing something of God to us, something of his characteristics, his perfections. The ceremonies, types, and sacrifices were revealing God's holiness, his justice, and his grace, and the way of acceptance with him. And today, God is making himself known to us by the preaching of the word and the sacraments, and Christ makes himself known to us in the breaking of bread, and there's to be a holy and reverent use of all these ordinances, and the Sabbath day as well. And it's another ordinance or institution whereby God makes himself known, and this is to be treated reverently. To profane the Sabbath is not to hallow God's name. Remember, it's the Lord's Day, and his very name is put on that day. Thomas Watson writes, let no man think God's name is hallowed while his Sabbath is broken. Hallowed be thy name, all the ways whereby God makes himself known to us. And God is manifesting himself also in his works of creation and providence. For example, when we consider the works of his hands, like the sun, the stars, and the moon, we should be filled with admiration. The heavens are what? They are declaring God's glory. And the firmament showeth his handiwork. Psalm 19, verse 1. And the human body and the development of the infant in the mother's womb is also revealing the glory of God and his wisdom and power. And so, like the psalmist, when we get a view of that, to understand what God has done in creating us, ourselves, we should respond in a way of praise. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. So when God reveals himself to us in these ways, it should all bring us to respond in a way of admiration and reverence. Hallowed be thy name. And so we consider in the second place the reverence that is due to God's holy name. The reverence due to God's name. Hallowed be thy name. The Lord is calling us to honor him according to his own self-revelation. You see, again, as we've already said, we're not to be governed by our own imagination, our own thought processes about who God is and what he is like. We're to be guided by the word of God, by his own self-revelation. And we're to be praying, hallowed be thy name, that our response to what God has revealed would be in a way of reverence, and that we would treat the name of the Lord as holy. We would regard his name with reverence because his name is reverend. Psalm 111 and verse 9, we read, he sent redemption unto his people, he hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. Holy and reverend is his name. And so we're praying that we ourselves and others would know and acknowledge and highly esteem the name of God. And we are to pray for enabling, for grace to do this. Hallowed be thy name. We're acknowledging in that prayer that we cannot hallow the name of God ourselves, not without his help. So we're praying, hallowed be thy name, because without him we cannot do so. It's a petition. We're asking that God's name would be hallowed of ourselves. Left to our sinful nature, we would treat his name with irreverence. We would even blaspheme the name of the Lord without his grace. We need his help. We're to petition the Lord that his name would be hallowed by ourselves and others. Without his grace, we would profane the name of the Lord, and that is exactly what the world does. How ashamed should those people be? Oh, that we would not be like them, who treat the name of God as if it were a mere interjection to be used every time they were surprised or annoyed to utter his name. What shame upon the profane generation amongst whom we live. And we're also to be warned about euphemisms, words that are used to substitute his name, but really sound like his name, that words that leave off the last letter of God and other letters are added to appear to be more acceptable. But ask yourself, to say such things like, gosh, is that acceptable to the Most High? Those who are truly reverent will not come close to anything that approaches irreverence toward the Lord. Well, to truly hallow God's name, we must know his name. We must learn of God from his word, from his names, from his titles. We must, first of all, know the Lord as he has revealed himself, and we need to pray that we would acquaint ourselves with the Lord, that we would know him by having a new heart, spiritual life in our souls, so that we would have spiritual knowledge of God, so that we would know the Lord having his fear in our very hearts. Pray then for the work of the Spirit, that you would be enabled to fear the Lord and desire that his name be treated as holy. And so we're to know him and we're to acknowledge him. And that's what the first commandment teaches us. Thou shalt have no other gods before me teaches us that we are to know and acknowledge God to be the only true God and our God, and to worship and glorify him accordingly. So when we pray, hallowed be thy name, we are praying that we would acknowledge the name of God. We would acknowledge the Lord as he reveals himself, as he manifests himself to us. We would acknowledge it in an appropriate manner. When we get a view of creation, for example, we would respond with admiration. When we, in his providence, receive good things from his hand, we would acknowledge God in thankfulness. We would acknowledge the Lord alone. We would not attribute these good things to our own work, to the work of our hands, but we would acknowledge it comes from the hand of God. Hallowed be thy name. So we're to know him and acknowledge him. Acknowledge, confess that this is the doing of the Lord, and therefore marvelous in our eyes. Psalm 99, verse 9, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. And we are to highly esteem his name. Know the Lord, acknowledge the Lord, and highly esteem him. Pray that we would be reverent, and that we would be holy in the use of his name, that we would have solemn thoughts of God, we would think highly of his name, think highly of his perfections, we would be in awe in our spirits of his majesty, and that we would praise the name of the Lord. We would acknowledge him and highly esteem him by praising him. The name of God I with a song most cheerfully will praise, and I, in giving thanks to him, his name shall highly raise. And we're not really reverencing God's name without trusting in his name, trusting in the Lord who reveals himself to us. We read in Psalm 33, verse 21, the desire, the resolve of the psalmist. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. You see, friends, we give honor to God by trusting in his name. It is unbelief that dishonors God. Unbelief shows that we think that God is not worthy of our trust and dependence upon him. Put it this way, what is most valuable to us, we commit to those whom we trust most. What we value most, we commit to those whom we trust most. And what we should value most of all is our souls. And like the psalmist, again, Psalm 31, verse 5, into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Just as a person commits his money to a bank because he trusts the bank to keep the money safe, well, we are to entrust our souls to the Lord by trusting in him to save our souls and to preserve us from evil. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Well, Thomas Watson puts it this way, very surprisingly almost. Faith in a mediator does more honor and sanctifies God's name more than martyrdom or the most sublime acts of obedience. Faith in a mediator, trusting in God, honors God more than so many other ways. So what we're praying for in the first petition is that we would glorify God in all the ways whereby he makes himself known. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And we are praying that we would glorify the Lord in how we respond to the revelation of himself. And really, what is required in response to his revelation is that we live our lives to his glory and that we enjoy him in all these ways. As the Levite said in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 5, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever, and blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. So in our thoughts, in our feelings, in our words, in our actions, we are praying that God would enable us to glorify him in all that whereby he makes himself known. Think about the name of God. By thinking about our own name, and we might think about our own reputation, we're very concerned about what people think of us and how they view us. But are we just as concerned? In fact, we ought to be more concerned, infinitely more concerned, about God's name and God's reputation than our own. Thomas Watson makes the point that we often speak of our sufferings and what we're going through and how our name or our person is suffering, but it's God's name that suffers more than we do. Who is there that really cares about God's name and his reputation and the way the world views God and how his name and what is revealed about him is blasphemed all the time by the world? Psalm 139, verse 20, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. And the psalmist responds in a way of abhorrence to those who treat God like that and treat his name that way. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee, and am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? And we ought to have the same attitude, not hating persons, not being vindictive at particular individuals, but hating their character, hating their attitudes, and hating their sin. And we're praying that we would truly be grieved. You see, there's not really righteous indignation without also sorrow in our hearts for the sins of others. We need to pray that when we hear God's name taken in vain, that rivers of water would run down our eyes because they keep not the law of God and they treat God's name so irreverently. Let us pray, hallowed be thy name, in that we ourselves would be deeply affected when God's name is blasphemed. And may every time we utter the name of the Lord, let there be reverence, even in the tone of our voice, that we would truly be solemnized and be filled with awe at the utterance of the name of God. So we're praying that we would treat God's name in a holy way, regard his name as holy, that we would regard his name as worthy of our reverence and awe. We're to hallow God's name by worshiping him according to his will. Remember, friends, that if the ordinances are one way that God reveals himself, then we need to observe these ordinances in his own appointed way. And this is bringing before us the regulative principle. The worship of God, the public worship of God, is to be regulated by his own will, revealed in his word. Those who invent their own ways of worshiping God, they're not acknowledging the name of the Lord. They're not acknowledging his sovereign authority and his prerogative to require worship according to his own will. All worship not prescribed by God is offering strange fire to him. It is not to hallow the name of God. Hallowed be thy name. We're to prefer God's name before our own name, God's reputation before our name and reputation. We should be willing to bear reproach for the name of the Lord. Psalm 69, verse 7. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach, shame hath covered my face. And finally, we're to pray not only that we would hallow God's name. Remember, the petition is, hallowed be thy name. Let thy name be hallowed, which means that we desire that ourselves and others would hallow the name of God. We desire that everyone would treat the name of the Lord as holy. Hallowed be thy name. Wherever God's name is revealed, wherever God reveals himself, that it would be treated as holy. And so we're praying that God would remove atheism, ignorance, idolatry, that God would remove profaneness from the world, and as the larger catechism states, whatever is dishonorable to the Lord. So then let us be praying that the media and the community would not profane the name of the Lord, and that God's name would not be taken in vain. We're praying that God would overrule all things to his own glory, and that he would put forth his power to bring all to pass to his own glory, that others would recognize his name and give glory to God, that sinners everywhere would respond to the revelation of God by admiration and worship and godly fear, just as the heavens themselves declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Hallowed be thy name. The larger catechism has a very helpful summary of what is included in the Lord's Prayer, this first petition. So that would be good to read it yourself and think upon it. And above all, pray that you would be enabled to hallow God's name, treat God's name with reverence. The name of God is above all other names. Just as the Lord Jesus Christ, in his finished work, has been given a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But you see, the glory of God is worth more than all things. And Thomas Watson puts it again in a very striking manner. God's glory is worth more than the salvation of all men's souls. What do we think of the glory of God? But how thankful we should be that God, in his wisdom and to his own glory, has devised a way to save sinners of mankind in a way that does bring honor to himself. And God is more glorified by the salvation of sinners than any other way. Christ the Redeemer has revealed the attributes of God most clearly, most gloriously. And that should be an encouragement to us, knowing that God is more glorified by our forgiveness, by our salvation than by our judgment and condemnation. So pray that you would glorify the name of the Lord by coming to Christ, that you would look to the Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, and that you would receive Christ as he is offered in the gospel. You see, that's the only way to glorify God. We will never be able to glorify God or be truly hallowing his name without first of all trusting in God as he reveals himself in Christ. We must first of all believe in the Lord Jesus. And you say, well, how can I believe in him? I'm not able of myself. Well, pray for faith. Faith is the gift of God. Pray for the Holy Spirit to work in you. Acknowledge you can do nothing of yourself, not even believe of yourself, and fall into his arms. Trust in the name of the Lord, the one who reveals that he is able to help those who cannot help themselves. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thy help. And when he gives you a new heart and faith to believe in him, you will glorify him. And he has promised that all those who love his name will inherit his kingdom. They will have this glorious inheritance. The seed also of his servants shall inherit it, and they that love his name shall dwell therein. Well, like Moses said, he prayed, show me thy glory. And if it's our desire and our prayer that God would show us his glory, that he would enable us to reverence him, then we will be praying from the heart, hallowed be thy name, a prayer that surely glorifies the Lord. May he bless his word. Let us pray. O Lord, help us to call upon thy name in truth. Enable us and others to glorify thee in all that whereby thou dost make thyself known, and that thou, Lord, wouldst dispose all things to thy own glory. O, that we would desire that our lives would be a reflection of thy glory, and that it would be a suitable response to what we know from thy word of thy holiness and also thy goodness and thy grace in the gospel. O, that we would respond by believing in Christ, that we would respond by repenting of our sins, that we would respond by keeping thy commandments and by declaring to others that thou art both good and gracious and waiting to bestow mercy upon sinners. O Lord, may we and others be brought to glorify thee by faith and repentance and new obedience. Be with each one in our congregation. Bless thy holy truth to our souls, and forgive our many sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We shall conclude singing to God's praise from Psalm 5. Psalm 5, from verse 7 to the end. But I into thy house will come in thine abundant grace, and I will worship in thy fear toward thy holy place. Because of those mine enemies, Lord, in thy righteousness, do thou me lead, do thou thy way make straight before my face. For in their mouth there is no truth, their inward part is ill, their throat's an open sepulchre, their tongue doth flatter still. O God, destroy them, let them be by their own counsel quelled, them for their many sins cast out, for they against thee rebelled. But let all joy that trust in thee, and still make shouting noise, for them thou savest. Let all that love thy name in thee rejoice. For, Lord, unto the righteous man thou wilt thy blessing yield. With favor thou wilt compass him about as with a shield. We will sing these six stanzas to God's praise, Psalm 5, from verse 7 to the end. But I into thy house will come in thine abundant grace.